A day after the verdict in the Casey Anthony trial, analysts are working overtime to explain how the jury reached its decision. Casey Anthony, the 25-year-old single mom, found not guilty of killing her 2-year-old daughter, Kaylee, but guilty of lying to police about leaving Kaylee with a babysitter, telling police she'd told people that Kaylee was missing when she hadn't told people, and guilty of telling investigators that she talked to Kaylee on the phone the day before the child was reported missing. Casey Anthony has, of course, been convicted in much of the court of public opinion for not reporting the child missing for 31 days. Harvard Law professor and defense attorney Alan Dershowitz is one of those looking at the case. And Alan, you'd said previously that Casey Anthony didn't pass the smell test. Last night you said on CNN that there are hundreds of people in jail on death row with less evidence than was presented at her trial. But what?
Well, I think there are lots of people who are in jail today, people who have been executed based on circumstantial evidence. There was recently a case in Texas where a person was executed for burning his whole family in a house based purely on evidence of experts on how fires are lit, and it turned out that that evidence was false evidence. There was enough evidence to convict in this case, but there was also enough doubt about the evidence to acquit. That's why we have juries, not computers. And that's why in America we have 12 people off the street or 6 people off the street, depending on the case, rather than professional judges, as they have in France and many other parts of the world. We also have a system that says better 10 guilty go free than 1 innocent be wrongly confined. So even if you think the defendant probably did it, was a terrible, terrible mother, which clearly this woman was, you have to acquit.
Because, as you say, the jury had reasonable doubt, and that's our system. So explain that to people watching the trial who heard about a daughter missing for 31 days with no report, different stories about where she might be, a last-minute charge that the girl drowned and the grandfather disposed of the body, and yet the body was found with the mouth duct-taped. We can't get inside their jury's heads, but what might the reasonable doubt have been?
Well, first, there was no cause of death determined. There was no time of death. The circumstances of the death were unknown. And the prosecutor made the dreadful mistake of charging her with premeditated first-degree murder, because the evidence was perfectly consistent with her having been negligent or even criminally negligent, the death having been somewhat accidental, and then the mother panicking and covering it up and telling all these horrible lies. But when the case opens by the prosecutor essentially asking for the death penalty, you're going to get juries saying, wait a minute, I'm going to look to see if there's any conceivable doubt in that case. And then the doubt goes over from murder to manslaughter, and the jury was fairly sophisticated. It did understand that she had lied. But we'll never know as the result of this what happened, because remember, a criminal trial is not a search for truth. It's not even a search for justice for Kaylee, because if you say there has to be justice for Kaylee in this case, then there has to be only one verdict, guilty, because the only person on trial is the mother here. This is not a whodunit or a multiple choice. People learn about the law through television. And in television, there's always an outcome. We always know who did it. But in real life, we often don't know what happened, and that's what happened here.
Well, and you say we won't know what happened. Let's ask you where it goes from here, because child welfare advocates like Wendy Murphy have asked, was there something else going on here? She points to friends of Casey Anthony who said she'd dropped Kaylee off at odd hours with mysterious people. There were those many searches for chloroform on a computer. Casey Anthony's mother testified she was doing those chloroform searches, but she was at work when they happened. So people are asking, for instance, can the mother be tried for perjury? Can the father be tried for this charge from the defense that he disposed of the body after an accidental drowning? Can documents be unsealed, something Wendy Murphy and other child advocates are asking for, to see if there was something else going on here? What happens?
Well, it's interesting, because I know Wendy, and she's a terrific child advocate, but the role of the advocate is different than the role of the jury. The advocate has an agenda. For the advocate, you presume guilt. For the jury, you have to presume innocent. The only recourse here is a civil trial, and I doubt there'll be one. That is, the estate of Kaylee could bring a lawsuit, a civil lawsuit, the way the O.J. Simpson case ended in a civil lawsuit. And in the O.J. Simpson case, the civil jury concluded that it was more probable than not that he did it, even though the criminal jury concluded that there was not proof beyond a reasonable doubt that he did it. The problem is, if you bring a civil suit, it opens it all up to discovery. There's no privilege against self-incrimination. The father's whole life would be exposed. I don't know who would bring the lawsuit. I suspect that this case will be left to historians and advocates to debate over. We've probably seen the last of court proceedings.
And by the way, we should say you mentioned the O.J. Simpson case. You were a defense attorney in that case. Well, I should point that out. Well, or maybe a good gumshoe. We don't want you to get into some of the speculation that's out there, but for instance, if there is child abuse, if there is child pornography, some of the speculation that's been out there because of some of the verified stories, can someone else pick up that trail?
Sure. No, you can pick up the trail, and, you know, if there were anybody who were abusing this child and using the child for pornography, that's an independent offense, of course, and that could be easily trial, but you get a lot of speculation around here. Of course, Casey Anthony's lawyers falsely speculated, there was no evidence, that the father had abused Casey, as if that would have been an excuse or a justification.
Actually, I want to stop you there, because you were critical of the prosecution, but also of the defense for their theory that Casey Anthony was abused by her father. Why?
When you argue that somebody was abused, that normally sounds like an excuse for having done what she did. It sounds almost like an admission of guilt. And there was no evidence to suggest abuse. And in the end, the lawyer was rebuked and told that he couldn't make that argument in closing argument after promising to do so in his opening argument.
Wasn't the defense making that point to explain why Casey Anthony lied or kept a family secret of disposing of
a
drowned body?
It's a pretty weak argument, a pretty weak argument. She was abused and therefore she lied about her child. It just didn't work. And I think you have to be careful in a criminal trial to introduce only things that you can prove. For example, the prosecution introduced the smell expert. He could smell human death. That's junk science. It discredits the rest of the prosecution's case. And so I think both sides did not present their cases as well as could be. But remember, the jury didn't find that she was innocent. The jury just found that the case against her was not proven.
Harvard Law professor and defense attorney Alan Dershowitz on the Casey Anthony trial, a sad chapter, but maybe one that'll be instructional in classrooms as to what evidence is. Alan, thanks so much.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.